So I'm going to read from Judges chapter 11 and verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, and said, If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he defeated them from Aroah as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and to Abel Keramim, with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. The episode regarding Jephthah's daughter, God willing, I will look at next week. But here we have Jephthah's victory. A man who was cast out by his own people is now chosen by them and the Lord to lead them into battle. But the text is absolutely clear that although Jephthah was a skillful man, a dedicated man, a godly man, it was the Lord who brought about the victory. And we read there in that very first verse, verse 29, Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Well, what does that mean? It means God's Holy Spirit came upon him in a particular way which empowered him, which enhanced his own skill, which developed his own ministry, perhaps gave him courage where perhaps it was lacking, maybe gave him some wisdom where perhaps he was also lacking. The Spirit of the Lord which came upon Jephthah is the same Spirit of the Lord who comes upon the Christian at his or her conversion and never leaves him. And it's a wonderful privilege to think that the Spirit of God which gave Jephthah that wonderful victory is the same Spirit of God who works in our lives as well, giving us the victory, not over the people of Ammon, upon an opponent, an enemy, far greater and far more lethal than the Ammonites. That's our own sin, our own sinful natures, which would make war against all which is good and all which is godly, which, like the Ammonites, would camp upon territory which does not belong to it anymore. It was redeemed by the Lord at our conversions. But we have the Holy Spirit of God abiding in us, making sure that we live for the Lord and that we keep on going. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. There's an awful lot of passing through. I think the Spirit of God is leading him in a particular direction. I think he's getting support from his own people. One commentator comments that Mizpah was where the Lord had an altar, where the Lord was particularly worshipped at that time. And the Spirit of God is bringing him to that place of worship before he brings him to that place of battle. But we're told he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And we see here it is not just a military occupation, but the Ammonite nation has moved into the area. They're planning to keep it. They're colonizing it. They're wanting to make it Ammonite territory. And the Spirit of God takes Jephthah right up to them. He's not for running away. He's not for retreating. He's certainly, as we've discovered already, not for negotiating or being browbeaten or sweet-talked into surrendering that which God has given the people of Israel. Verse 30 divides a number of commentators. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Next week I'll look in a bit more detail as to what that means. And most commentators think it was an unnecessary thing to do. One says how it was genuine zeal which encouraged him to make a vow honouring the Lord. But it was not wisdom in what he offered. It's also worth remarking as well that he makes this vow to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. But that does not mean the Spirit of the Lord is responsible for every decision he will make. As I've already said, we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. It is yours as a believer. But don't please assume that every thought that enters your head is from the Spirit of God. There are too many, and I've come across them, who think that the moment a thought comes into their head, it is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to them directly. And it's remarkable, because these thoughts which enter their head are usually suggesting what they want to do anyway. Seldom do these thoughts tell them to live more sacrificially, or in a more godly manner, or to live a life in which other people should go before themselves. We have the Holy Spirit of God, but the Holy Spirit of God will never communicate anything to us which is contrary to what he has already said in his word. Indeed, the Holy Spirit will usually speak to us through his words. This is why it has been preserved. So we have the Spirit of God, and I think as a believer we need to seek the filling of the Spirit of God and keep on seeking the filling of the Spirit of God, because we must be topped up, as it were. We are leaky vessels, as I've heard people say. But don't let's blame God or the Holy Spirit of God when we err or make a mistake. Jephthah does something here, and I think perhaps his motives are right. He wants to honour the Lord. But again, just because the motive is right, doesn't mean the action is right. The intention does not sanctify the action. In fact, we know that the Lord, and I think Jephthah knew that the Lord was going to deliver the Ammonites into his hands. This vow, well, I'll look another week as to why he makes it. But in verse 32, we're told Jephthah advanced towards the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. So the Holy Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and the Lord is delivering them into his hands. There really is no possibility of this battle being lost. The Lord is with Jephthah, but he's also working among the enemy soldiers to ensure that they lose, as well as working with Jephthah to make sure that he and Israel wins. And the Lord delivered them into his hands. It is, of course, a great victory. They are outnumbered. They're not in a strong position, and Jephthah would not normally be their commander of choice. But how God loves to use those whom others might write off or dismiss. Jephthah might not have been perfect, but he was a man used by God. But it was the Lord who gave the victory. And we must always be reminded of that. If ever we do something worthwhile or helpful for the kingdom, it was the Lord working through us. If you lead someone to the Lord, you haven't saved them. If you preach the gospel, well, it's the Lord communicating through you. If you plant 100 churches, it's the Lord doing it. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. He defeated them from Aroer as far as Minnith, verse 33. 20 cities, look how already entrenched they have become. They're already thinking this land is theirs. It's not. And to Abel Karamim with a very great slaughter. These people put up a fight. They didn't just run away. They were prepared. They were ready. They were armed. And they fought. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. I don't want to read too much into this, but the Ammonites are called people, the Israelites are called children. Perhaps bespeaking their natural weakness compared to their bigger enemies. Perhaps also bespeaking of the relationship they had with their gods. He was their father and they his children. So although Jephthah's motives may well be questioned with the vow, and I'll come back to the vow next week, let us content ourselves for the moment, by knowing that he achieved a great victory, but through the power of the Lord. The Lord used him, and the Israel who came to him a few verses back, trembling and afraid and desperate, are now the victors on the battlefield. And so with all who trust the living God. Amen.